gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. Sexy Little John Fugelsang will join us in the last hour because he's getting ready. His big show debuts tonight.
That's right, on
John
Fugelsang.
So that happened. Name of the show. Yay! So he's preparing that. He will join us in the last hour. All right. And then James Hoffa right here in studio.
That's right. We got a teamster.
Right?
Yep.
All right. Representative Paul Tonko, actress Olivia Munn.
Yes, okay. From the newsroom.
Okay. All right.
But she's stumping in Ohio for President Obama.
That's
so
right.
She'll be calling in from that battleground state.
All right. And as I was saying when I was crushing Jackie's spirit at the top of the hour.
Stepping on her news toes.
Yes, the big news is the unemployment rate has dropped to 7.8%. And can I just say, we may have lost the debate on points, but apparently the outrage over Big Bird is outweighing all of that. Yes, all right. Speaking of news, there she is. Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning. Who do you think advised Romney to go after a beloved children's character?
I know.
Who was like, that'll fly. Let's attack Sesame Street.
I mean, and I'm looking at like John Dean's tweet from the night of, and he said, Mitt won the day, but watch ads that come from this debate from Mitt hoisted himself on new petards. The Obama camp should be pleased.
Yeah.
And I think that's already happening. I mean, have you seen all these headlines? Chicago Sun-Times editorial, Romney wins on style, Obama on facts, L.A. Times, fact check, Romney's tax claim challenged by nonpartisan report, Bloomberg, Romney's plan needs growth to add up, reality check, Washington Post, Romney off on deficits, L.A. Times, fact check, Romney repeats erroneous claims on health care, CNN.
Oh, you and your facts and numbers.
CNN's David Gergen, Romney was just sort of flat out lying.
Oh, even David Gergen said that. Wow.
Jackie, I think you mentioned this yesterday. Who posted right away? How many lies was it in 4 hours?
Oh, that was Think Progress.
Had a good one.
Right.
Yeah. 27 myths in 38 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it really, that was so breathtaking when you were watching it, is you can almost put yourself in the president's shoes and go, how do you combat when someone just... no, my tax plan isn't that. It's like, what? Did you change it while you were walking out here? Right?
I wonder, yes, he was off his game. We were not impressed. It was not his best night. He's got to come out better. He wasn't pleased with his own performance, all that good stuff. But you do at some point have to wonder if it wasn't just totally, I don't know, sort of, if he wasn't just flabbergasted and
right.
wanted to say, hey, whoa, you're lying, and wanted to taper himself a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
I just wonder, like, when that moment happens and you think this is so astonishingly untrue,
yeah.
right.
how do I counter this without coming across as attacking Romney or being unpresidential in some way?
Right. We'll go through some of this later, Jack, but we posted it, right, the Think Progress, 27 minutes and 38 minutes. I mean, it's just, it really is breathtaking in its scope. I mean, you can go through and look at it, and almost everything is like, well, that's just completely untrue.
Yeah.
What he said, there's no way to spin it, you know?
Well, he set this up, too. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, was it on 60 Minutes, where he said that the president was going to lie, he was just going to outright lie, and so
yeah.
he set it up so that he could just spew whatever he wanted, and it got totally twisted around. I mean, I think that this was the strategy all along, and we know this. You can't win on the GOP platform because it's not popular, and it doesn't cater to a mass audience. It caters to the wealthiest 1%.
Yeah,
and they know this. They know that's not going to fly.
And who knew he walked into the biggest trap? The president yesterday.
Thank goodness somebody is finally getting tough on Big Bird.
So 30,000 people turned out to see him yesterday, right, Jackie?
Yeah. Did you hear that there was a little bit of a mix-up with the plane, or they were delayed, and so the traveling press corps didn't make it in time?
Uh-oh.
The national, really? There were some reporters there, but some of the larger distributed reporters weren't able to get there. So we did hear there were 30,000 and there were pictures, but it didn't get as much coverage as it would have had the planes all made it in time.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the other thing is, you know, Romney played into that meme that he likes to fire people, like you said, Jackie, by talking about targeting a beloved children's character. character.
Oh, it's so silly. Yeah. It is so silly. And now, I mean, the big, I mean, I'm sure you'll get into this, too, is that Romney turned around about the 47% and said, I was wrong.
Right.
Now, in the last 5 weeks, he's going to turn around and say, I was just kidding behind closed doors. I really do love and care about everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess, like, Chris, you were saying that he probably was anticipating that the president was going to bring it up.
And yeah. And so that's why he didn't bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Obama chess. Mittens checkers.
Yeah, so we went on Hannity last night to say I was wrong.
I was completely wrong.
Yeah.
He's been doubling down for weeks now all of a sudden. But we're so used to him changing his position that it's become the norm. I mean, nobody knows what to expect from him anymore because it changes day to day.
I mean, it really, you know, we've always joked about this, the flip-flopping. I mean, it almost is literally breathtaking, isn't it?
It's pathological. I mean, there is no substance. There is no stance there. He hates the poor. Now he cares about the middle class. Right. Now he's going to, you know, keep health care for pre-existing conditions. But his campaign says, no, that's only people who already have it. And it's extraordinary. I don't know what he stands for because he doesn't know what he stands for.
Well, and I love that he just, you know, obviously the $5 trillion tax cut, the president wasn't just making that up. That's from a nonpartisan budget office, and Mitt Romney's response is just like, nah. I mean, he said literally, that won't happen because I'm telling you it won't happen. It's like, what?
You can't do that.
Well, I mean,
some people believe he actually believes, he believes his own lies.
Yeah. I mean,
if
Jackie,
you say it enough, it becomes true.
That's pathological. Yeah.
Well, he comes from a long line of pathological liars, according to him.
He's raised his children to be liars.
I raised five liars.
I'd like to throw my own sons under the bus, all five of them.
All five little liars?
Big Bird and my five kids.
I mean, if the president said something about he has five kids, you go, no, I don't. Did you just flip-flop on that, too?
And by extension, was he calling Obama boy?
Yeah.
You're just like my five boys.
Yeah,
lying bastards.
Jackie, talk about healthcare a little bit, because that's almost the headline I'm looking at is Romney backflips on Romney care. I mean, this is like you can't even. As you know, he used to boast that his Massachusetts law should serve as a model for national reform. So Obama takes that advice. You know, obviously affordable care based on it.
Oh, it can't possibly work on a national level.
Romney,
that's crazy.
During the primary, a hairpin turn began describing his reforms as uniquely suited to Massachusetts, not the whole country, if even that. And now at the debate last night, he said what we did in Massachusetts is a model for the nation, state by state.
it's good for the entire country if by that you mean the states that make up the entire country individually.
Yeah. I mean, asked by the Washington Examiner, Jackie, last December, if he would recommend that any states adopt his 2006 law, Romney responded in its entirety, no. I mean,
if lying were an Olympic event, he'd have a gold.
Yeah, right? Oh, we lost Jackie somehow.
I think our phone screener system crashed.
Oh, dear.
Wow. All right. That's a problem.
Anyway, so at the debate, he both reiterated his pledge to repeal Obamacare and talked up his own nearly identical state law while falsely claiming that his national plan would protect people with pre-existing conditions.
Hello, he lied.
That's just exactly, Jim. That is a flat-out lie. He's like, oh, no. I people with pre-existing conditions would still be... No! No! It would leave 89 million people without...
People with post-existing conditions.
Oh, my God. It's really breathtaking. It was too much at once that was happening while you're watching it. To fact-check, you were almost like, wait a minute, that can't be... Huh? No, that can't... Oh. And then by the time you do the whole thing, you're right. It is all...
Well, lying is genetic.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Rocky Mountain Mike has graced us with a... Oh, is this Audra and Mary are on this one? This is a tribute to our friends on the right.
You said, oh, girl, this is a right-wing world, and you want it all to yourself. I said you can't hide your tax returns, all the dirty deals you dealt. You can talk, baby, it's all right. You can hide how you're sleazy, but not tonight. We're running against the old on the right. It's like a logic that we have to fight. Surrender to the cold brothers tonight.
I like that better than the original.
Uh-oh. Now you're messing with Pat Benatar.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah.
All right, Jackie's back. I don't know what happened there. I don't know. I'm going to suggest some sort of sabotage. All right.
You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
I blame Tug Romney.
Okay. Jackie Scheffner.
Yes. Sure.
There you are again. All right.
Good morning.
Yeah, it really is sort of stunning. We were talking about healthcare before we lost you, but, I mean, everything he said is just complete BS, isn't it?
Yeah, no. I mean, he wants the he's proud of the Massachusetts plan in that it suited him while he was governor. And he thinks it should be a model state by state, but not on the national level. But there are parts of the healthcare plan which actually are going to be state by state, like the exchanges.
Right.
So he is going to get that. It's really kind of strange to me how he thinks it would work state by state, but not nationally, because I actually think nationally it would be better because we'd have more bargaining power and we'd be able to have more consumer protections. I mean, there's a lot of really good things that would happen if we had those, for example, the exchanges on a national level.
Right, which is exactly why he said this would be a good model for a national plan.
Yes.
And his advisors worked on it.
Yes.
I mean, it's the same people. You may remember there was an ad, it seems like forever ago now, but, you know, a while back, there was an ad where some of the architects of his plan talked about how it was a model for the national plan and why it was a model for the national plan, and they don't understand why he's running away from it.
Yep. Wow. By the way, this is just, it seems almost stunning that even in, you know, what everybody is saying, I guess, was a victory for Mitt Romney. Did you hear what John Sununu said?
I mean, they're just lazy.
Yeah, and stupid. I mean,
we got that coming up in Right Wing World.
I mean, they're overreaching already. Yeah. John Scott said, "You don't think there'll be a better prepared President Obama on stage next week?" John Sununu said, "When you're not that bright, you can't get better prepared."
Wow.
Then minutes later, he appeared on another network called President Obama lazy, disengaged, and incompetent. I mean, is this not overreaching?
Okay, let's just discuss the fact that the president has a second job.
Yeah.
It's called being the president.
Exactly.
Right.
Mitt Romney sits around and prepares, and the president has to actually be the president while he's preparing for the debate. So I would say he's just a little bit busier.
Yeah, yeah.
A little hard to be lazy when you're the president of the United States.
And I can't wait for them to spin how the unemployment dropping to 7.8 is a bad thing.
I don't know how they're going to play that one.
Oh, they're already attempting on Twitter.
Oh, awesome. What are they saying?
The talking point, yeah.
Oh, I guess Jack Welch. Said that if Obama can't win the debate, he'll adjust the numbers.
Oh! There you go. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Conspiracy. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, then.
Jackie, Barbara in our chat room says that you're so cute trying to apply logic to Mitt Romney's health care ideas.
Yeah.
It's precious. We're plucky like that. All right. Jackie Scheffner, thank you, sweetness. See you at the top of the hour.
My pleasure, kid.
All right. There she goes. 19 minutes after the hour. All right. We have so much to talk about this morning. Poor Big Bird. Have you seen? I mean, can there be any more things on the interwebs?
No.
Him in a bread line.
Yeah. Him dead on a park bench.
All the Muppets with shivs, you know. Yeah. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Great tweet on the debate. Let's see. Debate felt like a remake of Catch Me If You Can, Man on the Run, who, when facts and authorities catch up with him, just makes up a new identity.
Yeah.
By the way, I thought the president had some great stuff yesterday. He was basically talking about the real Romney.
When I got onto the stage, I met this very spirited fellow who claimed to be Mitt Romney. But it couldn't have been Mitt Romney, Because the real Mitt Romney has been running around the country for the last year promising $5 trillion in tax cuts that favor the wealthy. The fellow on stage last night said he didn't know anything about that.
Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, welcome, Steph.
Hey, hey guys.
Hi.
I'm not going to do a pass this Friday. It's 30 degrees here in Illinois, so my pants are going to have to stay on. Isn't it weird how Mitt Romney can pat himself on the back and because he thinks he did great, and then at the same time he has to do that to take his foot out of his mouth because 5 minutes later he just roars everything he does as well?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing. Right after the 47% comp, didn't he double down on it? He was like, well, yeah. I said it wrong, but blah, blah, blah. And so then this was last night on Hannity, correct?
Yes.
This
yes.
is Mitt Romney last night.
Clearly in a campaign with hundreds, if not thousands, of speeches and question and answer sessions, now and then you're going to say something that doesn't come out right. In this case, I said something that's just completely wrong. And I absolutely believe, however, that my life has shown that I care about 100%. And that's been demonstrated throughout my life. And
yeah.
this whole campaign is about the 100%. When I become president, it will be about helping the 100%.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the word just came out wrong.
When he said it, he doubled down on it.
Yes.
Now he says he's
yes.
completely wrong.
And it wasn't like just one thing. He expounded at length
yes.
in
yes,
that
he
whole
did.
Video about 47%.
Right.
Boy,
yeah.
what a bunch of freeloaders.
And afterwards, he expanded at length about mm-hmm. what he meant.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
it's just.
But the word just came out
stunning.
Wrong.
It is stunning.
Wow.
Okay.
So I'm going to say I love you in a song.
Bill in Kirkland, Illinois. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
This Johnson nonsense about the president being lazy is just, it's idiotic. The president's been trying to build the country, and the Republicans, all they've done is sat in a room with Frank Luntz, coming up with juvenile catchphrases that they're using like a wrecking ball to tear down the president and tear down the Congress.
Yeah.
And in Illinois now, we've got a candidate running, her name's Wanda Roll.
Yeah, she's great. She's been on the show.
Her body got crushed in an accident. She's paralyzed from the rib cage down. She could sit home and collect Social Security, but she's not. She got herself up. She got herself fixed up, used the safety net, went to school, got herself a degree, and now she wants to give back to the country
yep.
and help rebuild
mm-hmm.
and throw these lazy bums out. And, it's just, she needs all the help she can get. So,
yep.
you know, Mike, can I give her a website?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Roll for Congress. That's ROHL for Congress.
Okay.
.com.
All right.
And,
we've had her on a couple of times. She's awesome.
Yeah,
all
love
right.
her.
Yeah, love her. All right. Paul Krugman, Jim, I think you saw this yesterday, but he just, I think he really nailed it. He said, okay, so Obama did a terrible job in the debate and Romney did well, but in the end, this isn't or shouldn't be about theater criticism.
Mm-hmm.
It should be about substance, and the fact is that everything Obama said was basically true, while
yeah.
much of what Romney said was either outright false or so misleading as to be the immoral equivalent of a lie. And he talked about, literally, him saying, pre-existing conditions are covered under my plan. No,
nope.
They aren't. Romney advisors have conceded as much in the past. Last night they did it again. If you think he promised something real, you're the butt of a sick joke. And we're talking about a lot of people left out in the cold, 89 million to be precise. Furthermore, all this should be taken in the context of Romney's plan not just to repeal Obamacare, but to drastically cut Medicaid. So enough with the theater criticism. Romney needs to be held accountable for dishonesty on a huge scale.
Huge. Well, at least I'm not as big as the liars in my sons. It's not like it runs in the
that's
family.
Probably
right
why you,
yeah,
that's probably why
no,
you brought that up.
Yeah, it is.
No, I mean, I'm a liar, but I mean, Tag is wow.
Wow.
I mean,
the whoppers he tells.
And don't got me started on Flurn.
Okay. All right.
Forg.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. James Hoffa, right there when we come back.
We got a Teamster.
All right. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to walk around. I think my vagina is asleep.
Mine too.
So not true. 34 minutes
after. Were you sitting on it or something? Is that why it went to sleep?
34 minutes after the hour. I think I should share the sad day in my life. See what just came in my mail yesterday?
What?
It's a thing for senior living. That's a sad day.
Well, you're a senior.
I am not a senior. Oh, James Hoffa's here. All right. Hi, James. We're very informal here. You just come on in. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Nice T-shirt. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Stephanie?
Good. We haven't seen you since, well, the DNC.
The DNC. We had a great convention. What a bounce we got out of that. What fun that was. I'll tell you, I had a ball there.
I know, absolutely. Well, what do you make of, obviously, the big news today? Unemployment rate falls to 7.8%. We created 114,000 jobs.
Isn't that great? I mean, what a, you know, coming off the debate, which everybody's talking about, what better news could we have for the president than this type of news? It shows that it's working. Give him time, which is what the president's saying.
Yep.
We're coming back, and, you know, this is great news, and I think it's exactly what we needed right now. It's going to keep the momentum going into the election.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the other, we generated 86,000 more jobs in July and August than first estimated, so... I mean, nothing but good news today.
And it shows that people are coming back. I mean, you know, some of the right wingers say, well, people have abandoned, they've lost hope. You know, this shows new people are coming back.
Right.
We've got new people coming back into the market, so this is not a static thing.
Right.
It shows people are looking for opportunities. You know, I know some people that are out of work right now, and they're looking forward to getting jobs, you know, especially for the holidays and things like that. Now, they might not be great jobs, but there are going to be jobs available. Thousands of people are going to be hired. So that's going to be another shot in the arm.
Right. Right. Well, and as we were saying, I mean, it is interesting how, as you said, everyone's talking about the debate, and you give it a day, and literally, Mitt Romney has been so thoroughly fact-checked and debunked at this point, it's almost breathtaking, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's hard to debate somebody that basically denies everything that he's been saying for the last year.
Right.
I mean, he says, I want tax cuts for the rich. Like there's Paul Ryan's budget, which he's married to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he basically now says, well, I never said that.
Right.
That's not me. I mean, the president evidently had some fun yesterday.
Yeah.
He went and flew somewhere. And he flew, you know, and he says, I was on the stage with somebody I never saw before. I thought it was Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And he said, the guy says, I never said that. I never said about the 47%.
Well, James,
I never did. I don't want tax cuts for the rich. I don't want to get rid of Social Security.
Right.
I don't want to get rid of Medicare. It's what he's been campaigning
on.
No,
we were just saying that, you know, you really, you have new sympathy in a way for the president because you go, he prepared to debate somebody that didn't show up, and I don't even know how. I mean, here was my favorite line. We were talking about this. Romney literally said, well, first at the first debate, Mitt Romney admits he would absolutely not support his own tax plan. He said, well, there's no economist that can say Mitt Romney's tax plan adds $5 trillion on it. If I say it won't add to the deficit, it's like, because I say so? That's not like what? Because I say it won't add to the deficit, so none of these economists, it doesn't make any difference what they say?
I think the president, though, you know, you really, you know, you got to realize that Mitt Romney's a salesman. It's like the guy that's selling you Fuller Brush or selling you a new vacuum cleaner. And
right.
He comes to you and he's so sincere and he's telling you how you need this vacuum cleaner. Well, he's the same way. You saw a salesman.
Yeah.
And the president really has to geek up for that. I don't think he expected that to come on that way.
Right.
You know, come on and charge at him like a salesman. And you're dealing with a guy that's a salesman. He sold Bain Capital all over the world.
Right.
He sent jobs to China. You know, that's him. And you've got to gear up and ramp up for that kind of an approach. I think he was a little shocked, tell you the truth.
Yeah, I do, too. So basically the president was talking about the real Romney, as you were just saying, on the campaign trail.
The real Mitt Romney said, we don't need any more teachers in our classrooms. But don't boo, vote. But the fellow on stage last night, he loves teachers. Can't get enough of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I thought the president played it exactly right yesterday because he was prepared to debate the Mitt Romney that has laid out these positions for the last whatever year and a half. And I mean, he just almost denied every single one of his positions, didn't he?
It was an incredible performance. You know, but one of the things that, you know, you can't say it wasn't important. That 68 million people, it was a record. Watch this.
Right.
Can you imagine 68 million? That's like more than the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was amazing. So many people watched it. But they, you know, and I hope people know the facts of what he's been saying so that what the president said made sense. I think he was shocked by the attack. Hopefully he won't be shocked next time.
Yeah.
And I don't think he also knew that there were going to be double screens. I really don't think he knew that.
Right.
And I think that threw him off a little bit. So he'll do better next time.
Yeah.
But now, you know, the things he's having some fun with it, it's saying that he is not telling the truth. I think people are going to pick on that. And not, the polls aren't showing any bump or anything. So I think we're by that. And now we got to move on. We got, you know, great numbers there. Just keep on pounding till we win the election.
Yep. You know, I think David Axelrod said it right yesterday. He characterized Romney's debate strategy as effective in the short term, vulnerable in the long term. He said Governor Romney came to give a performance, and he gave a good performance. We give him credit for that. The problem is none of it was rooted in fact. So, you know, and now they're going to run with this in ads, right? I mean,
you're going to have fun with them because they're probably going to do an ad where they have, here he is saying, I want tax cuts for the rich. And there he is saying, I don't want tax cuts for the rich. And he's going to say, we got to get rid of teachers. Now, remember you saying, I like Arne Duncan. I like the Department of Education. They want to get rid of the Department of Education.
Right.
I mean, where does reality come in?
Right.
Where does the truth come in? You say one thing, then you go on television and you say the other. So I think it's going to catch up with them. I think, you know, in the long run, that doesn't work.
Mitch should probably just debate himself at the next both versions of himself. The president again yesterday.
The Mitt Romney, we all know, invested in companies that were called pioneers of outsourcing jobs to other countries. But the guy on stage last night, he said that he doesn't even know that there are such laws that encourage outsourcing. He's never heard of them. Never heard of tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas. He said that if it's true, he must need a new accountant. Now,
he doesn't need a new accountant.
No.
We know for sure it was not the real Mitt Romney because he seems to be doing just fine with his current accountant.
Exactly.
That's funny.
James, you know, obviously a lot of people too, you know, you're watching that, you're like, oh, I wish he'd said that, you know, that night. But I think that, you know, he, as you say, I think he came prepared to debate on all of the issues. I mean, what do you do when the guy doesn't show up? It's been putting forward all these positions.
Well, it's a very difficult situation, but you know, you can't really spend the entire hour and a half correcting him
right.
on what he said because, you know, he's got to have more eye contact. I would point my finger at him more. I would get really right in his face, just the way Romney got in his face.
Yeah.
You know, he was pointing his finger, eye contact, looking right at him.
Right.
And I think that's what you need. And I think he'll do a lot better. But, you know, how can you spend an hour and a half correcting somebody about, you said this right. on this day, now you're saying that? You really can't get your points apart.
It
did throw him off because it was so dishonest.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that he got out there and basically called the president a liar. He basically said, oh, well, a lot of what the president's saying, I have five sons who presumably are liars, but I... so I know when someone's not... And you literally are going... I mean, James, they fact-checked the debate. Everything the president said was true. I mean, it just... You're right, the whole thing was such a parallel universe. You don't even know how to...
Well, then he starts saying, you know, I'm for Social Security. And then he kind of mumbles almost for everybody. And off under his breath and like... He hates Social Security. He wants to privatize
right.
it. That's
right.
on his website.
Right.
I mean, and then he's at Medicare. He says, well, Medicare is great. But then he says, well, we're going to send vouchers for anybody that's 54 or under.
Right.
I mean, it's so frustrating to listen to that because you know what the truth is.
Right.
And for him to get up there and say that, you know, they might have a good point. It worked in the long run, in the short run, but in the long run, you really can't get away with that because they're going to skew him with different ads.
Right.
They're going to show him, this is what he said here, this is what he said now. Flip-flop. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah. And that's devastating.
Well, we were talking about, you know, you and I talked about health care at the DNC, and this was all, I mean, it literally is head-spinning. it doesn't even make any sense anymore, his position. He was for, obviously, health care in Massachusetts, said this should be a model for the nation, then he said, no, it shouldn't. It's like you can't even tell from one like day to the next what exactly his position is on that.
Well, he says the first thing I'm going to do is get rid of Obamacare the first day I win. And then on the other hand, he says, but I agree with a lot of these things because, you know, I want, you can't get, you know, knocked out for, you know, pre-existing illnesses. You can stay on your parents.
Right.
Well, what part are you going to, are you going to knock it all out? Are you going to knock part of it out? It didn't make sense what
right.
he was saying. And he basically has campaigned against Obamacare, all of it. He says, I will knock
right.
the whole thing out. During the debate, he starts saying, well, maybe not all of it. Maybe certain parts of it we'll leave in.
When he said my plan covers
do that?
People with pre-existing conditions, that is a flat-out lie.
Yeah, well, he and you know, he says this point about how he got along with people in Massachusetts. He said 82% of the people were Democrats. Well, maybe the Democrats wanted to do the right thing. And that's not getting along. That's just doing the right thing. You don't
right.
get points for doing the right thing. You're supposed to do the right thing. You're supposed to
right.
work in a bipartisan thing to give health care for everybody in Massachusetts. What they did was good.
Right.
And the answer is, now we're going to apply it to everybody else. So it's good in Massachusetts, but it's not good for the rest of the country. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and, you know, and I was going to say the other thing on health care is that, sorry, that thought went out of my head. But, I mean, I think I'm so almost stunned by the health care debate. When he said that, you know, he implied the president just rammed this through and with no, you know, kind of, these are all Republican ideas. In affordable care. I mean, all of it, right? The mandate, everything. I mean, that came from the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And all of this goes right back. You know, the whole idea of the individual mandate, which now they just can't believe that anybody's even thinking about that. That was one of the things that Newt Gingrich talked about. It's from the, like you said, it's 10 years old from
right.
the Heritage Foundation. At one point, they were talking about this. You know, even Bush was talking about
right.
this, you know, a long time ago.
Because
and
it was personal responsibility.
Yeah,
that's
said,
how they were selling
it. You should
it.
Go out and get your own insurance.
Right.
Remember that? And that made sense to their thing.
Right.
Now they're denying it. Now
yeah.
they're saying that's
yeah.
an infringement on your rights. Well, how was it good 10 years ago with Bush and
right.
everybody else and the Heritage Foundation, and now it's no good?
That was the other lie. He said, oh, well, the Republicans put forth their own plan, and the president swept it aside. No, they didn't.
No.
The Republicans put forth no plan.
You know, some guy gave a great speech, you know, and the whole thing about the Republicans is you're on your own. You get sick, you're on your own.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, you get in an accident, you're on your own. You fall down the stairs, break your leg, you're on your own. And even Mitt Romney said, well, if you get sick, just go to the emergency ward.
Right.
I mean, like, that's insurance?
Yeah.
I mean, what if you get really sick? Are you going to live at the emergency
yeah.
ward? I mean, what is he thinking that he actually could blow people off and saying, well, you don't really need insurance, you know, today? You know, and does
yeah.
anybody listening in think you don't need insurance, that no one's ever going
right.
to get sick, and or you're going to get in an accident? And he actually said, well, if you get sick, just, you know, all you got to do is go down to the emergency ward, and
sure.
they'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Well,
no
who
problem.
Pays for that? I mean, let's turn
we
that
do.
Around.
We all,
the,
do.
All
whole,
of us pay
yeah.
for that. Is that what we want, or do we want people to say, you know, I'm going to be in just like Obamacare.
Right.
I got to pay. I'm going to go out and get a policy. Everybody should have a policy.
Yep, absolutely. 46 minutes after the hour, back with more with James Hoffa, Teamsters president, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Teamsters President James Hoffa here live in studio with us. You're out here for no vote no on Prop 32. Tell us about that.
Well, on the ballot here in California is another initiative, and this is put out by the vast right-wing conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
and this basically wants to silence workers, you know, here in California, to take away
right.
their right to pool money, to work. And what it is, it's an attack on payroll deduction. And what we do, everything, dues and any money
right.
that goes to campaigns, we do on a checkoff from your paycheck. They want to outlaw that. Well, you know, and the way they're kind of saying this is reform. Well, how is it reform? Because corporations don't check off anything.
Yep.
They don't check off their, but for us, it's important to us. So they're zeroed in on us to basically silence the voice of workers here in California by making it so we can't use the money that comes off of payroll deduction, which is the way we do dues, which is the way we do drive
right.
contributions, which
yeah.
is our PAC. And it basically would basically silence us. Now, who's behind this? I mean, the better thing is, well, why is this on the ballot? Where did it come from? There's a guy named Charles Munger. This guy, $20 million. He's so serious about it. He wants
wow.
reform.
Right.
One guy. guess what? The infamous Koch brothers. Well, they're involved in this. $4 million.
How did I know that was coming?
How about Karl Rove? Our good friend Karl Rove with American Crossroads. Now, he's from who? He's from back in Texas or something like that.
Right.
But he's here in California. He's in California. He's got $2 million into this because they're out there because this is all about a 1-2 punch. Number one, this year we silence labor. We silence the people not to have any money. Next year we come with right to work, and they've got no money to take us on, no money to fight back. You know, workers don't have billions of dollars like the Koch brothers. They're just out there with their $5 and their $4 and their $2. But that's what unions are about. They pool their money so they have power. Because individually, none of us have any power.
Right.
But collectively, we have power. And that's what unions are about. And that's what they don't like. And they want to disarm us so, you know, we don't have any money to fight them so they can come back with more initiatives about, you know, right to work, do this, you know, get rid of the environmental laws, you know, pollute the skies, do anything they want.
Right.
That's what they're for. And the minute you see the Koch brothers, the minute you see, Karl Rove and this guy Munger that he's really excited about this $20 million, that tells you there's something wrong here.
Right.
Because this isn't coming from really reformers. This is coming from a part of this, these right-wing nuts that are out there that are trying to change this country. The same people that are backing Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, James, you were talking about we haven't seen a bump out of this. I mean, for all the talk about the debate, I was saying at the time I thought the response was a little overwrought. When you look at polling, I mean, the president is significantly ahead, and particularly in swing states, correct? And it looks like this is going down ticket, don't you think? I mean, obviously a lot of Senate and House races.
Well, I think that's true, and I think it's, you know, if the president, you know, he's up 10 points in Ohio, which is a key state. And obviously the states that I'm focusing on, they're all important. I mean, there's 50 states, they're all important. We want to win them all. But you really have to look at Florida, you have to look at Virginia and Ohio. Ohio's a bellwether. He's up 10 points there. I don't think this debate's going to change that at all. By the way, I'm going to Ohio next week.
Right.
That's my swing in Ohio. I'm looking forward to it. We've got a lot of great Teamsters in Ohio, just like we have a lot of great Teamsters out here in California. And I'm looking forward to going to Ohio. But, you know, I think that, you know, if he wins big enough, if we can, you know, point out the way, you know, Romney lied and get these numbers up, you know, if the story goes, if he can start getting up to, into the 56, you know, his numbers start going up,
right,
it's going to start bringing congressmen and senators in. And we have a lot of close races. We know John Tester up in Montana.
Yep. Yeah.
We've got, you know, very close races in Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren. We got a very close race in Nevada,
yep,
you know, with Shelley Berkeley. And these are like that close or just, you know, they're 50-50 or 45-45, what do you want to call it? And if this kind of a bump could maybe sweep some of those people in, and then you go to the congressman. There's a lot of close congressional races out there. And one of the big things that we're trying to do is to try and take back Congress, the Democrats. And it's very difficult because we have to pick up 25 seats.
Right.
And while my people say that's a – but, you know, if he wins big enough
– Yep, yep.
If he wins big enough, if he wins big enough, and there's a lot of close races out there, that we could basically pick up more seats than we're basically contemplating.
And I thought, as we've been talking about, the president really bounced back yesterday. Here he is.
So you see, the man on stage last night, he does not want to be held accountable – for the real Mitt Romney's decisions and what he's been saying for the last year. And that's because he knows full well that we don't want what he's been selling for the last year.
That's right.
I guess the question will be which Mitt Romney's going to show up at the next debate, right?
Well, but, you know, that's exactly, you know, what we talked about when we were at the convention. You know, when everybody watched the Democratic convention and the Republican convention. And at the Republican convention, we saw all these speeches about our forefathers, about my dad, my mom, how tough we've had it. I was born in a log cabin, blah, blah. It went on and on and on.
When are they going
to talk about tax cuts for the rich, get rid of capital gains, and basically cut entitlements? Tell people what you're running on.
Yeah.
That is your platform. If you think that's a good idea, why don't you tell the American people that, and let's have a real debate. And you know what? They know they can't tell people that, because if they tell them, we're going to cut your Social Security and your Medicare and your Medicaid and your food stamps, guess what? People are going to say, well, I don't want that guy.
Yeah.
So they're afraid to say that. So they get by with all this bamboozle about our forefathers and all that. And, you know, it was such another dishonest convention.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the – sorry, Jim, go ahead.
I was born in a log mansion with a horse elevator.
Well, the one guy had a good line. He said that, you know, the guy says that, you know, number one, I was born in a log cabin, and number two, I built it.
I'm looking forward to the vice presidential debate this week, aren't you? I mean, you know, Joe Biden, I think this really opens the door for him to take it to Ryan, don't you think?
I think that Joe Biden's going to look at this and he's going to say, well, that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to have that. But, you know, on the other hand, this Paul Ryan is a zealot.
Yep.
I mean, he's a bully. Yep. He's tough. I mean, he's like a machine gun. And he better be ready for that because this guy's a tough, he's an ideologue, and he will, boom, he'll come right at you.
And so, every bit as convincing a liar as Mitt Romney.
Oh, yeah. Probably bigger.
James Hoffa, a Teamsters president, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why, look at this. It's an unsolicited testimonial from a big fancy current executive. Look at that.
What?
Steph, you guys did such a fun show, our debate special.
On Wednesday, that's right.
Right. And had such lovely ratings. We would very much like to have you another and another and another, I expect. Would you bring your big old ratings to the party next week for another pregame show? I said yes, indeed.
Yes, what? Indeed. You said yes for all of us?
Yes, I did. I spoke for you.
Oh, great.
Bowie. All right.
That's cool.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah, and thank you for tuning in, everybody. Yeah. Yay. We were sleeping. It was our nap time. We don't really remember what happened, but apparently. Yes.
I'm doing a Pixar job next Wednesday.
Oh, no, it's not on Wednesday. I believe it's on Thursday.
Thursday. Yes. Okay.
It's the vice presidential debate this week. Yeah, Thursday. All right.
Except we're going to meet our tax lady.
Okay. All right. Jim, you can maybe do that off the air, figure out your schedule.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe rearrange some things to be on TV?
Yeah.
Okay. Think you can do that?
All right.
Okay.
All I know is the Romneys love small stuff. That's
I love this state. I love Big Bird.
I love cars.
I love great schools.
I love the lakes.
I love you women!
I love carpet. I love desk.
Are you just looking at things and saying that you love them?
I love lamp.
Do you really love the lamp, or are you just saying it because you saw it?
I love lamp. I love lamp.
I love Big Bird.
You're going to love my nuts.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
That's
all right.
Quite a montage.
Jewel in Portland on Mittens. Hello, Jewel.
Hey. Steph, thanks for all the great work you guys do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, there are, if you look in the American Psychiatric Journal, there are 5 stages of lying, from, oh, I have a headache and I don't want to meet you for coffee, you know, that kind of thing,
right,
all the way to what's called a pseudolith. A pseudolith is a person who is so immersed in their own lies that it becomes their reality.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly.
Mittens is there.
No, he's a really good liar. That's why I think if I were the president, I would have been a little startled as well. Like, you say that so convincingly, it seems like it must be true. All right. By the way, so, you know, the president said we can't, double down on trickle down? So this is, see, Mittens is clever. He's turning it around.
I saw the president's vision as trickle-down government.
Oh.
And I don't think that's what America believes in. I see instead a prosperity that comes through freedom.
Gag.
Yes, exactly. The president, of course, is anti-freedom.
Yeah.
As we all know.
With extra freedom berries.
Uh-huh. Okay, Mason in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mason.
Hey, good morning, sunshine.
Good morning, moonshine.
Hey, you know I love your music, by the way. You play the best stuff in the morning.
Thank you.
Aw.
It really helps me not to be so irritated with the media in general this morning. I got to say, I'm really disappointed in all of the news media calling this an epic fail and he's flatlining and all of this crazy nonsense. It's not like, you know, Obama got out there, stripped down naked, and was doing the hula. I mean, he had some very valid points.
Right. Right.
And,
no,
you know,
I said that at the time. I'm like, boy, I think people thought Chris Matthews was going to stroke out on the on the air. I get it that the expectations were so low from it that, you know, I mean, I get it. But again, you know, it's like David Axelrod said, Mason, give this a second. And as we have, we see how this has been so thoroughly fact-checked. They're going to use all this stuff in ads now.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, the fact-checkers have really told a different story of the outcome of the debate. Even today, though, most of the networks are still claiming Romney was a win, which makes me wonder what is their criteria. Because he got up there and he lied, as you pointed out, with the fact-checkers. He bullied the debate, the moderator, the president. He took the opposite side of his own platform. He applied the criticisms that he was getting to the president, like the fact that he's making up facts and that he wants to cut Medicare benefits.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like a win to me. I mean, just that's not what I consider a win.
Well, I'll tell you what's a win. Unemployment rate drops to 7.8% today. As you know, we added 114,000 jobs.
Absolutely love it, but they're now saying that that's a conspiracy. I mean,
yes. Sure.
You know, it just makes my head want to split open and my eyeballs pop out of my head. I mean, it's sheer craziness.
That's so unladylike.
It really is.
Yeah, Romney has just released a statement about that today, saying that that's not enough. That the President Obama's not working hard enough to get the unemployment numbers low enough.
Oh. Because, as John Sununu says, he's lazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also stupid. Okay.
And yeah. that will be coming up in Right Wing World.
Wow. So let's just talk about one, the tax plan. Mitt Romney seemingly walked back his support of his own tax plan in the debate, telling President Obama and the American people that he would absolutely not support a plan that cuts taxes on the wealthy, raises taxes on the middle class, or adds to the federal deficit. Independent
analyses have found that
it is mathematically impossible for Romney's plan, as written, to avoid either adding to the deficit or raising taxes on the middle class. And Romney's, as I read the actual thing he said, he basically just said, because I say so. I mean, the president wasn't making up this number. This is what every independent analysis has said about Romney's plan. He said, so there's no economist that can say Mitt Romney's plan adds $5 trillion. If I say I won't add to the deficit with my tax plan. Oh, okay.
Oh, if you say so. All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, and as I was also saying, I thought Axelrod said it right. He said the strategy was effective in the short term, vulnerable in the long term. He said Governor Romney came to give a performance. He gave a good performance. We give him credit for that. The problem is none of it was rooted in fact. Romney told the debate crowd, for example, despite his promise to repeal affordable care, pre-existing conditions are covered under my plan. By the way, Mr. Etch-a-Sketch, Eric Fernstrom, he immediately walked that statement back right after the debate. He said, clarified it would be up to states to pass laws guaranteeing insurance coverage. Axelrod called the pre-existing conditions plan an assertion that was so audacious the Romney camp had to send someone into the spin room right after the debate to say, well, he can't really do that.
Wow.
As for taxes, Obama appeared to be caught off guard by Romney's repeated insistence that he would not cut taxes for the wealthy, a statement that contradicts independent studies. By the way, studies, not just one study.
More than one.
Showing even the most progressive version of his proposals would slash taxes for the wealthy while raising taxes on the middle class. Either that or explode the deficit. Much of Romney's performance was rooted in deception from his very first answer when he tried to disown his $5 trillion tax program, which was skewed to the wealthy and for which he has no way to pay. And then he finally dinged the serial evader Romney as being unable to name one regulation he would keep. He's been saying for how long he would repeal Dodd-Frank. And then he literally, just because he says it, suddenly he's really pro-regulation.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, you have to have regulation. When did anybody ever say that? That would be crazy if someone were to say...
Wow.
Unbelievable. Seriously. All right. Representative Paul Tonko, our good friend from the great state of New York. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you? It's great to join you and your listeners.
You too. It was great to see you at the DNC. And we're just, I mean, it really is almost too big a job to try to fact-check everything Mitt Romney said the other night. I mean, it really is stunning, isn't it?
Well, the one that amazes me is the revenue-neutral tax cut. Reducing those rates, and you know where they're going to go. It's aiding those most comfortable, giving them a tax cut, and talking about this resulting growing of the base. And, you know, it's so interesting that the revenue neutral concept is pretty much just nomenclature. They're suggesting that as the tax base grows, in the future will recover revenues and therefore the tax cut will be paid for. Well, that sounds an awful lot like the Bush recession, where they fought two wars that weren't online. They gave tax cuts to the upper levels, primarily upper levels, and didn't have a funding mechanism, and then wondered why we, as an economy, crashed and had a painful, long, deep recession. It was the same order of thinking.
Yep.
Give the tax cut, but don't worry about paying for it, because eventually we'll recover the monies. Well, that sounds like history, recent history, repeated.
Right.
And, you know, I just think it's going into the danger zone.
And by the way, I mean, obviously facts and numbers supporting the president, including the unemployment rate today falling to 7.8%, that is just huge news, isn't it?
I think it's great news. I think, you know, just knowing that 7.8% is the lowest it's been since January of 2009 when this president took office. So we're actually, you know, undoing, getting a better rate than we've had, unemployment rate, than we've had throughout his tenure. And
yeah.
It's been slow and steady progress. And I think the important thing also is that 418,000 people were new to the workforce in September. So
yep.
It shows a very strong opportunity out there for the economy. And also I'm told that the folks who have been out of work for 5 weeks or less are finding jobs quicker than they did a September ago, from a year ago. So a lot of indicators out there that are very strong. And we have to keep in mind, too, that the 114,000 jobs added last month may be driven upward because July and August numbers, after they were out for about a week, got driven up when they redid the numbers.
Yep.
So I think there are very good signs out there, and I think it's that slow and steady progress. Now, 31 consecutive months of private sector job growth. That's good news.
Representative Tonko, one of the other things, of course, Mitt Romney criticized the president for military cuts, which is, of course, the president is also against and has asked Congress to come up with a plan, and yet the GOP is driving us once again off this fiscal cliff. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, it's asking for more money in their plan. Now they can't live with their own sequestration plan that they wanted.
That Paul Ryan now voted for.
Yes, exactly. And now they go and come up with a new plan that will carve some $18 trillion out of domestic investment and going over to add money to the Defense Department and asking for more money than the Department of Defense is asking for. This is somewhat interesting, you know, and no details. And as it is, you know, 60 cents on every dollar in that budget goes towards defense activity. And we have a domestic agenda from educating our young and having, you know, women have healthy pregnancies on up to health care for the most frail elderly in our society. There are so many things that need to get addressed, jobs, the economy, our environment, all sorts of improvement in transportation infrastructure, you know, investing in our electric grid, countless things that need to be done, research dollars that translate into jobs, many things that could be done with our domestic agenda.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think it's a whole new day, and just the outrage over Big Bird alone, I think, is giving
yeah.
the president a fresh wind at his back.
Well, isn't it great that we can remove regulation on Wall Street and then go and extract dollars from Sesame Street?
Right.
There you go. Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York. Representative, always great to talk to you. Thanks
That's
again.
That's enough to ruffle your feathers, I think.
There you go. Look what you did
the
there.
Bird jokes.
All right. Thank you, Representative. Talk to you soon.
Okay, have a good day. Right.
Oh.
Ruffled some feathers. You see what he did there?
I do.
Right. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to to it. 23 minutes after the hour. What? 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number.
I was showing you pictures of our next guest.
Yes. Well, Jim enjoyed those very much.
Olivia Munn has...
Right. Of the of Newsroom. The Newsroom.
Yes.
The HBO show.
She has a past
and
of doing some cheesecake.
The Daily Show.
Yeah, of doing some cheesecake photos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know.
Don't do that to Jim. He pays as little attention to me as possible anyway.
What?
Right,
sorry?
Jim?
Hmm?
Okay.
Did you say something?
Like you need to distract Jim anymore. All right.
She was Maxim magazine's most photographed woman for a while or something like that.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
But now she's stumping for Obama.
Yeah. Oh, she's an Obama surrogate.
That's right.
There you go. All right. Mittens last yesterday on the
last night, I thought, was a great opportunity for the American people to see two very different visions for the country.
Two very different
and,
myths. Two myths.
I think it was helpful to be able to describe those visions.
Uh-huh. Just both of them. The ones I used to have and the one
yes,
I had
right.
just last night.
Or the one I pretended to have.
Yes.
And then changed.
Yeah, exactly.
We have two very different courses for America.
Mm-hmm.
Trickle-down government or prosperity through freedom. And trickle-down government that the president proposes is one where he will raise taxes on small business, which will kill jobs. Mm. I instead want to keep taxes down on small business so we can create jobs.
Oh.
This is about good jobs for the American people.
Oh, everything
God.
You said was a lie.
Speaking of which, wow, Mittens, look at that. The unemployment rate falls to 7.8% as we create 114,000 jobs.
Yeah, but those aren't good enough, he said this morning.
Oh,
what?
Right.
That's not good enough. Obama's not working hard enough.
He's not creating jobs. Well, he is, but not enough. It's because he's lazy.
And stupid, according to John Sununu. Not very bright,
he
said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody.
Thank you, baby.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Uh-oh. All right, then. Looked like that was going
to
be good.
Self-service in Orange County isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, Susan in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Suze. Hello.
What happened?
Uh-oh. I don't know. What's going on with the phone
the
system
phones
now? Susan?
Seems to. What?
Susan.
Hello. Hello.
Okay. All right.
Oh, boy.
One
ringy-dingy.
Okay. All right. You know what? Let's do some of the fun facts then.
Okay.
What the hell's happening with our phone system?
Boy.
I'm trying one more just to see what's what. Christine in California, are you there?
Oh, my darling.
There we go. Okay.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
You're like Prozac for me in the morning.
Thank you. I need some.
And, I was just going to say, I changed my mind because the other caller said it so beautifully. I learned a new vocabulary word, pseudolift. I think he's a megalomaniac, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And his visions, yes, he has visions. They're delusional. They're visions.
He has double vision since he's had both. He's been on both sides of every issue.
I just took a hit off my dildo bump.
You know what? There's something weird in the air. Okay.
It's Friday?
Let's go with that.
Okay.
Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kevin. You know what?
Boy.
I'm just going home. You guys finish up in here.
What happened?
I don't know. There is something. Is Mercury in retrograde? What's happening?
Hmm.
All right. Let's go.
Maybe there's an electromagnetic pulse.
You think so?
Specifically designed to knock
out
phones.
Oh, it's the ones that the magically change those job numbers to distract from the debate. Isn't that what they're saying in Right Wing World?
Sure.
That they said those Chicago guys will do anything. They're just making up new job
those
numbers.
Yeah, those guys, we'll just change your numbers around.
Hmm.
And then that'll happen.
Hmm.
And
yeah. All right. This just in. Bill Kristol, not a Romney fan, is he?
He's being very vocal about that, too.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
He actually said Romney has a thin resume for a presidential candidate. Romney's business background may not be applicable to government, as he says. This is what Bill Kristol said. He was on a panel with John Huntsman during a Brookings Institution panel. Kristol also argued that Romney's resume is rather thin. Huntsman said, I haven't seen a good example yet of a business person coming to government and make it run as a business. We forget that the cultures are very different, and I think the presumed outcomes are different as well. And then Kristol said he has a thin resume for a presidential candidate. He's a one-term governor in an atypical state. He really didn't run on much of an agenda to change things for Massachusetts.
Hmm.
And the things he did change were making the unemployment, 47th in job creation in Massachusetts. So there's that. All right, I'm trying one more time,
okay,
and then I'm going to start drinking. Okay, Joshua in Georgia. Hi, Josh.
Hey.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, wow. I just want to say that I love you guys, you and the Mooks.
Thank
y'all keep me sane, especially here in South Georgia. I can, you, I, Matt, you,
you can imagine there aren't many progressive voices here.
I can imagine.
I just wanted to say one thing, but first I wanted to give a shout-out to the chat room because I promised I would. The current TV chat room. This is Kool-Aid, just so everybody in the chat room knows.
All right. Okay.
And he just burned up all of his time with that.
And scene. Time. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, actress Olivia Munn of HBO's The Newsroom, Obama surrogate on the campaign trail next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
James Woods promised to introduce me to
Stephanie Miller.
But instead, he introduced me to Danny Bonaducci. Tell you, that guy looks like a dog turning 30.
Okay, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, we are awaiting actress Olivia Nunn from HBO.
Munn,
what did I say?
Nunn.
Right, sorry.
You're thinking of Terry Nunn.
Catholic school flashback, my bad.
Okay.
I apologize.
Yes.
Okay.
She's a hottie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, okay. Jim, you don't even want to know what Jim's been saying during the commercial break.
What?
But she's going to talk politics. She's an Obama surrogate. She's on ground in Ohio.
Yep.
All right. In the meantime, Marvin in New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marvin.
Hey, hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I don't know. First of all, I like to say our president is an evil genius.
Why do you say that?
Well, first of all, he definitely let Romney walk into that debate. You know, look at the headlines today.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yep.
But I don't know. The thing I like to say is, like, yesterday they were talking about how all these Romney supporters were going to jump ship and everything, but now they're doubling down, and they're going to go down with the ship.
Right. Right, yeah.
And, oh, excuse me.
Oh, pardon you. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Another thing is, think about all the money that's not going into the Senate and House races.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, all of this has been speculated against, and also I think he underestimated the Muppet love in the country. Let's go to Heidi in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, I'm on right now?
Yes.
Hey, Stephanie Miller and everybody, I love you guys. I listened to you about 8 years.
Thank you.
And I was just calling because I wanted to say that Obama, everything's turning around right now in the economy, and I think the president, the next president, is still going to be turning around, and I want him to be in office so that he can take the credit for what he's done.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. I'm surprised Mittens hasn't taken credit for the drop in the unemployment rate thus far. All right. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yes, because I don't think he underestimated the amount of Muppet love. A lot of people like Big Bird, you know.
I like Big Bird and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when that bird walks in with an itty bitty beak and a big subsidy for sesame, you get tongue coming out of your mouth about the money you'll save from Oscar the Grouch. And Cookie Monster just can't go on. All outsources can't haul the way to Taiwan. I like Big Bird and I can't deny.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. All right, Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
Thank you, baby.
So yesterday they were complaining that it took 13 hours for Obama to really fire back at Romney.
Right.
But meanwhile, it took 17 days for Romney to pathologically reverse again position. So
yep.
Now that he's a moderate, my two questions are, what would the teabaggers do? What are they going to do?
Right.
And where are his tax returns?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I forgot about those.
Yeah.
But the most important thing, Stephanie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming to New York to the show.
What?
Woo! Sexy liberal time.
Are you bringing the bar baby?
I can't. We're still waiting for bar baby number 4 to come, but my daughter gave me permission to take the weekend off.
Aww.
So we are coming.
Yay, I can't wait.
We will meet and grope you. You know, my husband hasn't groped you since you came to Bethesda, Maryland.
Awesome.
So we cannot wait.
Can I tell you one thing? When you see who the surprise celebrity panelist is, you're going to plot.
Well, that was the final straw. I was like, I got to do it. And Roland has been awesome. So thank you, Roland, for helping me.
All right. Thank you, Sue. By the way, can I just say, sexy little tour director Roland, he's back in New York losing his... Did you see that picture I just showed you?
Of
he's
the dog?
Trying Butters, his dog, who has a Facebook page, Butters Cahill.
Right.
He is dressing her up in various Halloween costumes this morning, and he keeps sending pictures, and it is really freaky. Butters has a wig and like a suit on. And
Roland doesn't have better things to do.
I don't know what the hell he's doing. Get to work. For God's sake,
trying to dial the Humane Society right now.
Get me out of here.
Poor Butters.
Help me.
The Katie Holmes
Butters
of
is
dogs.
Like Katie Holmes.
Yeah. Help me. Somebody help me. She does. She has the Katie Holmes eyes. Yeah. Help me. My daddy's crazy. Yeah, that is. The dogs always have that look in their eyes when they're in costumes. Just like, I will kill my owner in a moment.
They don't make
it out of this.
They don't make costumes big enough for your dogs, do they?
Oh, I don't think so. No.
You'd have to put on like a real person trench coat on your dog to put it in a costume.
Okay. Circus tents.
Yeah, yeah. My dog went as a flasher because it's the only thing he could fit in.
All right, let's try Kevin in D.C. again. Hi, Kev.
Well, good morning, Lovey.
Hello, Kevin.
I thought I was going to be denied then my usual pleasure of speaking with you.
No.
How are you being?
No, go ahead.
Well, you know, I guess it's a standard thing. Israel.
Uh-oh.
Mm. Okay. Yes, Mercury is officially
wow.
in retrograde.
That's
all right.
Weird.
So Mitt Romney says a drop in the nation's unemployment rate to 7.8% is, quote, not what a real recovery looks like. Really?
Hmm.
So maybe going up would be... Hmm. He responded to the jobs report by arguing that Obama has failed on the economy. Okay. See, did I say that they're just going to go, no, that's not good?
Yeah.
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 Don't.
It's not perfect, so it's awful.
Fox News is already running with Jack Welch's thing about Obama's just manipulating the numbers. He can't win the debate, so he manipulates the numbers.
Right.
Right.
As you do.
And I actually wrote back to Jack Welch, and I said, sir, if you're going to put that out there, you better have proof, or else America's going to brand you a liar.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I haven't heard back.
No?
No.
Let us know when you do.
Okay,
maybe
I will.
Loesch will call for him.
Dave in Illinois,
tweet.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Everybody,
great.
You know what? Talk amongst yourselves. I'll just be...
Why don't we do a right-wing world?
Okay, why don't we do that?
All
right. We got no phones. We got no guests. Here we go. Time for right-wing world. Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends President.
The president argued last night for, quote, a new economic patriotism. This was during the debate. What does that mean? Being a patriot means paying more? Economic patriotism, to me, a couple things. Does it mean if you don't agree with the president, you're not a patriot?
Hmm.
And number two, isn't that just another way of talking about class warfare?
And number three, am I an idiot? Yes, you are.
Yes.
Why is she inserting her opinion into asking a question of a guest? That is shoddy journalism.
So I think what he meant was paying your fair share. You know what I mean? If you live in America, maybe you pay your fair share.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, I don't know, this would be, and maybe your money is invested in America and not in, say...
The Cayman Islands.
Switzerland. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. That's what I thought.
And if you hadn't shipped jobs overseas.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Destroyed companies and, you know, made profited by it.
There you go.
Gretchen Carlson is a crappy journalist.
All right. Bill O'Reilly on the debate.
Barack Obama is a good debater and a good public speaker. Mm-hmm. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the mistake he made last night was coming off as a boring college professor. He simply droned on and on about people he met in Kalamazoo or someplace who had a tough deal going on. Instead of making dramatic points, the president meandered. And I couldn't believe that Mr. Obama didn't even bring up Mitt Romney's 47% remark. What happened to that?
Oh, well,
I think
you just
we know.
Did. You just did.
I think we know because I think he got word that Mitt Romney was going to bring that up during the debate and completely reverse himself.
Right.
So he just wanted to keep that out of the debate at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the debate as well.
For those of you on the left, for those of you in the media, Obama didn't lose because he didn't show up. He did not lose because of the altitude. He didn't lose because of the moderator. He didn't lose because he was on Valium or Xanax or whatever I've even heard.
What?
What?
He lost because his ideas don't cut it.
Mm.
Really? But
so that's why the
was
unemployment
him, was. Was that him calling someone else a pill popper?
A pill popper.
Is that what that
was? Project much?
He was...
Without any... Evidence.
I see. Just throwing out a rumor that the president was on drugs.
Right.
Oxycontin.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, Ann Coulter on the Fox News.
He was very, very bad last night. He looked depressed. He looked anemic. Those big ears poking out. The first time I watched the debate, I was mostly listening to it, and Romney was killing. And then I watched it again, and toward the end was actually watching it, and the visual was made it so much worse. Obama was depressed and looking down. You could see at the end of that debate, he knew that, you know, anniversary or not, Michelle wanted to go home with me.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I don't even know what. You know what? That's not even worth commenting on. Let's just pretend.
Big ears. I thought we were done with that
really?
After the first election.
Not. Okay.
Maybe she was seeing this shadow of her own Adam's apple, I think.
Well, that would cause a shadow resembling an ear.
All right. So the president has big ears and Michelle would rather have sex with Mitt. And here's John Sununu. Okay.
What people saw last night, I think, was a president that revealed his incompetence, how lazy and detached he is, and how he has absolutely no idea how serious the economic problems of the country are, and how he has failed to even begin to address them.
Well.
He didn't want to prepare for this debate. He's lazy and disengaged.
I know people who listened to the debate on the radio and thought Mitt Romney sounded like he was insane or on drugs or something.
I know.
So it's interesting. It's like the Kennedy-Nixon debate.
Yeah, they get reversed. Yeah.
Lazy.
And he also said not very bright. Yikes.
Yeah, he told someone else that, yeah.
I think maybe they're spiking the football just a little too much over this. I think this might backfire on them.
A little bit.
Mm. Okay, Brian Darling, Heritage Foundation on CNN.
We all love Big Bird, but maybe it's time for him to go out and find a real job in the private sector and stop sponging off the federal government.
Yeah, the 1/10 of 1%
right. PBS is 0.00000 something like that, 1/6 of the deficit. And by the way, in Sesame Street specifically, gets hardly anything.
Exactly.
Because they make money with merchandising and all
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. They get barely anything from the government. It's such a ridiculous point.
Right. And conservatives like to say, oh, Sesame Street can go to Nickelodeon or something like that. You know what? You can only get Nickelodeon if you have cable. Cable is very expensive, and for very low-income families whose only source of education for their children is broadcast television, Sesame Street is a very valuable tool for learning basics.
That's the public sector. That doesn't count. Unless you're making gajillions of dollars, there's no point in doing it.
And you can bet that the networks aren't going to put Sesame Street on in the morning in place of the Today Show or Good Morning America.
Although
might replace Matt Lauer with Big Bird at this point. Okay,
we got that coming up in Celebrity Stack.
All right, 25 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. She knew how to work it the day she was born. Now she's riding into battle with her high heels on. She's the queen of the West Side, working until dawn. Riding into battle with her high heels on.
Oh, yeah. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800, STEP 12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Everybody that I know talks about the newsroom on HBO. I've seen...
love it.
Yeah, I've seen not enough of it because I'm a geek.
Yeah, and you're drunk.
Most of the time, yes. But I
and you go to sleep at 5 o'clock.
Hey, that doesn't stop me. I go to sleep at the same time, and I saw every episode last season.
It's I've seen the clips, and it is amazing. Yep. Olivia Munn is on the show, and she is also on the ground in Ohio campaigning for President Obama. Olivia, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. You're on the ground in Ohio, right?
Yeah, I just landed from a red eye. So
oh, my God.
You
poor thing.
Oh, boy. We've all had the same amount of sleep then. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not so, like, for me. It's like, oh, you get to, you're going onto a plane, and then they need to drink some wine, and then you try to go to sleep, and then you wake up, and then there's people that, you know, kind of help you out everywhere. So it's not like for me as much as it is for, you know, other people who have to do it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Listen, I've had exactly the same amount of wine probably. So
if you want to feel bad for me, I'll let you.
Okay.
I know.
So obviously,
I'm just not encouraging it.
So the big news today, the unemployment rate dropped to 7.8%. We added 114,000 jobs. I mean, that's going to be big news in places like Ohio, right?
Well, I think that's something that, you know, when we you know, listen to all the debates and we're hearing, you know, so many statistics that get thrown at us all the time. When you realize that what's happening, that Obama's plan is actually working, it's happening. It's a thing. It's very exciting. It's, you know, nothing gets, you know, you don't, you know, turn a tide over completely like overnight, and it takes time. And so, and it's so nice that we can, especially today, of all days, be able to see that. It's I think it's extremely exciting.
Olivia, what was your reaction, not just to the debate, but, you know, the coverage of it? Because, you know, as we've taken a day now, I mean, obviously Mitt Romney has been so thoroughly debunked in almost everything he said in the debate, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought. I was watching it, and I kept having to rewind because I thought, man, Romney's coming strong on the president. And I thought that was just his body language just was coming on very strong. And I never, when I was listening to it, never hearing a straight answer. And then things felt, you know, very, very vague. Like, you know, he says one thing in the beginning, and then towards the end he's saying, you know, like that it's, you know, we have the worst schools. We have the worst schools. And then by the end he says, we have the best schools. Like, I'm not really getting why. Yeah. I see that his stance and how his body language was very, I guess people are saying, presidential, and he did not seem weak at all. But, I can do that too. I can say a lot of stuff. I seem very knowledgeable. And I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm like, yeah. You know what? The economy is crap. I think I love money, too. I think the economy is doing awesome.
Well, that's why they call acting is essentially lying, right? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. It's and then the worst part, though, is that, you know, for the moment you're doing it, you have to believe it. So even as an actor, acting is lying, but to truly do it well, you have to believe it for the moment you're doing it. And, you know, during the debate, I mean, I remember looking up and seeing, like, what are people saying? And everyone's saying, Romney wins. And I thought, that's interesting, just because I still didn't get any answers. And it seemed like he just agreed with, he was just kind of lying about everything,
right,
that he had said. He kind of just kept going back and forth and back and forth. And I think the big thing to me, more than anything, which is so important, is why I'm out here in Ohio today, and then I'll be going to Virginia and Wisconsin, is just to really rally young people to get out there and register to vote and to vote and vote early. Because we didn't realize, I mean, if people remember last year, last election was about 507 votes is the difference. I mean,
right.
People don't realize how close it is. And right now it's such, you know, polar opposites, and it makes such a big difference for us to vote because,
yeah,
I'm afraid it's that thing where, and actually with what happened at the debate and how people end up taking it and people think that, you know, Romney was the winner, I feel it's really important actually for people to realize, and a lot of my friends just automatically say, oh, Obama's going to win.
Yeah, right.
People think, but then it's that situation where we've all been in where, nobody, you don't vote or you don't vote for this because you realize that, oh, your guy's going to win, somebody else is going to vote, and then you realize you didn't win. And you look around, you're like, I thought you voted.
Right. Yeah. No, it's going to be all
on everybody else.
It's going to be all about turnout. How did you get, have you always been politically involved?
I'm a big supporter of America. I'm the girl that if anybody says anything about America, I'm the first to, like, I'm on the edge of my seat going, what did you say? I'm like, what? You know, America's awesome. So stop right there.
Don't pick a bar fight with you is what you're saying?
Don't pick any kind of fight with me about America, because I will throw down anywhere. I'll put down my Game Boy and my backpack and my juice box and just go at it. It's going to be three suns against the wall. It's going to be mad out.
Break off a beer bottle and go. All right, America, you've been warned.
Yeah.
You've been warned.
Yeah. It's not so much a beer bottle. It is more of a juice box in my
sure.
situation.
Capri Sun. Sure.
Not quite as effective.
I drink and eat like a child. I just kind of like to. I like to have no real responsibility when it comes to how I eat and drink. But when it comes to America, I will always be fighting. But being political, it's something, especially as an actor, I really do believe that it's our responsibility to, you know, help the audience suspend their disbelief when they're watching us. So it's not, I don't think it's the smartest thing for an actor to do, to go out there and be saying really big political statements and, or any kind of, anything that can just, kind of put a mark on them. However, it's important, I think, when certain things are especially like right now, are so serious, and you have to be out there and just to yep. fight for things that I think aren't just these big political stances, but are more human rights issues. And, yep. I'm an activist to protect animals. I just think that that's not like a now she's an animal activist thing. It's like, oh, no, I just think it's right to not abuse animals. Like, I think that's a good thing. You know, like, that's to me. And so right now...
Right.
The biggest thing to me that made me really want to join, not that I've always, always supported President Obama, but...
Yep, Olivia, so sorry, we're running out of time. We're so glad
Wait,
you took time
but
for
I
us.
Have, I have 15 more minutes, Stephanie. I'm only on page 3 of 20.
sorry. We love you. All right, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Olivia.
It's time for her pudding pop, I'm told. All right.
58 minutes, sun's against the wall.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, you're right. New rule. No touching.
Okay.
Do not touch me during the commercial breaks.
I'm just trying to console you or whatever.
Creep me out. Creep me out, Jim. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. It's very odd.
It's weird. I like it when you grope me. It was just weird. Okay.
Oh, it's like your little brother touching you?
Yeah. No, I told you only my friend Rob can do that. He pets my head and says, oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Beautiful. Apparently he's from the Philippines.
That's the way he pets.
And that's what I was trying to do
lady,
to you to,
his
help
dog.
You to help you calm
yeah,
down.
Yeah, creepy. You got big ham hands. Ugh. Okay.
And sausage neck.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay.
You're from the Riemann Schneider's House of Sausage. House of Meat Products.
Like, what are you doing over here? Don't touch me. Get away.
I really creeped you out.
I could hang out.
All right. I'm just sleepy. All right.
Much like Olivia Munn.
She needed to get in her Granimals and have her juice box.
Yeah.
She just cut off a red eye. All right. 7 minutes after the hour. Kids, you know what Sue and Rockville just called to say? She's going to New York City, ladies and gentlemen.
Fresh from their star-studded performance in Hollywood.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
The year's hottest political show. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is finally coming to the city that never sleeps. New York.
So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
On October 27th, the eve of Election 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will take the stage at Broadway's world-famous Beacon Theater.
There is nothing like the thrill of doing a live show on Broadway.
Featuring John Feeblesang, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler,
Sexy Lady,
and Stephanie Miller. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com or call 866-858-0008. Don't miss your one and only chance to see all the Sexy Liberal Comedy Players live on one stage. That's the Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Beacon Theater.
I love New York. You know why? Because it's open all night.
Yay!
Yep.
You know, that's a good point. I'm just looking at the Chiron up there. We were at 10% unemployment in 2009, which was obviously a result of Bush policies. It was right when Obama took over.
Right.
So
don't look amazed.
This is huge news today that we're at 7.8%.
Yep. And Obama did promise earlier in his term that unemployment would be below 8% by the end of this term.
Mission accomplished.
Yep. Check.
In so many ways.
Exactly. How about that, our friends on the right?
This right wing world, and you want it all to yourself. I said you can't hide your tax returns, all the dirty deals you've dealt. You can talk, talk, baby. It's like a magic dance.
Did you know that?
What?
And Rocky
what?
Mountain Mike. Not all three of them, just the two girls got married.
Mary lives in Ann Arbor.
Audra and her partner got married.
Oh.
Pardon me. Okay.
Okay.
All right, why do I bring that up?
Why?
Because I always get crap when I wear this T-shirt.
Somebody said, yes.
Yes, because the corporate CEO of Gold gave $2 million to Carl Rhodes Group for anti-gay stuff, but you explained this to me.
It was just the president of the umbrella corporation of which Gold's Gym is a part.
Right.
He gave money to Crossroads GPS. Gold's Gym, as a corporation, did not give any money and is very active in supporting LGBT
causes. But without
causes.
The gays, Gold's Gym would collapse.
Yeah. And besides, it makes my rack look good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So there is a difference. I know the Gold's Gym here in Hollywood is they're all over LGBT causes.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
There you go.
All right. I'm kind of a gym slut, as you know.
Yeah, you go to all of them.
I'm a spinning slut. I spin all over the place.
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
Hmm. By the way, speaking of that issue, Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan promised the president to focus on the family, that he and Romney would allocate the proper resources to prevent gay men and lesbians from having equal marriage rights.
Huh.
Isn't that nice?
That doesn't sound very family-friendly.
Yes.
No.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? All right.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see this story? I love this. Roadkill found in Kentucky Chinese restaurant.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what? If you're having Chinese food in Kentucky, I don't think it's probably really Chinese food anyway.
Probably not.
I don't.
You're pressing your luck.
Yeah. Like, having sushi in Ohio was bothered me. I told them they should call the restaurant Ohio because I'm us. Ohio! See, because it's... they didn't think it was funny.
No. In Eastern Kentucky, a health inspector said he shut down a restaurant after finding a roadkill in the kitchen.
In Kentucky? What are the odds? Wow.
What are the chances?
Who could have seen that coming? Well,
what are
certainly not the deer.
That your Chinese food in Kentucky isn't roadkill?
What kind of roadkill? Is it a possum?
Oh, this is awesome. No, this is awesome.
It's actually a deer.
Yes. Customers complained to the health department after peer employees... for dragging a dead deer into the... Yeah. The owner, the inspector said the restaurant owner's son apparently picked a dead deer up from the roadside and brought it into the eatery. That would be a little disturbing.
I don't know about sweet and sour venison.
They're like, what's
I don't
he
think
bringing
that,
in the... Okay. The owner said he did not plan to serve the animal to customers. He planned to feed it to his family.
Right.
So that
okay.
was...
Okay, sure.
I'll have the Kung Pao possum.
So, right. That was...
So that happened.
Which that's the name of John Fugelsang's show, which debuts tonight.
That's right.
We will talk to him in just a few minutes. All right. J.D. in Arkansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, J.D.
Hey, how you doing
Good.
Today?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I watched the debate the other night, and, you know, I just kind of observed quite a bit. Obama seemed like he was trying to keep from laughing. I mean, he's...
And now we know why.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about it is, his tactic looked like he was... if you're trying to get a rat out of a hole, you got to bait him. And he is out of the hole now, and he has nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, I mean, it was like a fanatic on speed.
Yeah. You know, J.D., it's interesting. Have you noticed a difference? There's a lot of, like, real people, you know, when you hear people calling radio shows or if you're on Twitter, a lot of times, you know, the elite media opinion is not the same of what as regular people, do you think?
I believe that's to be a fact.
I know people were saying just because Romney was practically yelling and was lying and filibustering, you know, why does that mean he won? I mean, that's what I saw a lot of normal people saying.
Well, Obama uses a basic prosecutorial technique. The worst damage someone can get due to themselves is let them keep talking on the stand. I mean, he laid everything out, showed he's a liar.
Yep.
I mean, it was right out in the open, and I'm going to leave you one analogy. It's like a tsunami. You know how tsunami, the tide reverses. And
right.
Him and his buddies are out there picking up fish. Oh, yeah, this is great. Well, the fact tsunami, he's not looking at the horizon. All those facts are building up, and they're coming on shore quick.
Fact tsunami.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, John Sununu is out there picking up fish going, the president's stupid. He's lazy.
Look at all the fish he left us.
Yeah. That was with love was a little too much of an end zone dance, and this is what's happening. Is you know, you give it a second, and you know, between that and the unemployment numbers,
and the real facts come out, and then they look they look stupid. And
very good analogy.
This stupid now, John Sununu. There you are. What am I?
I always got the impression that John Sununu's not that bright.
No, he talks a lot and loudly. So
kind of like Donald Trump.
Yeah,
not too bright, but talks loudly. Mm-hmm. So you can't
help
but
notice him. Wasn't he fired for being too incompetent to be in the Bush administration?
He was.
Wow. Okay.
That's something.
Wow. Siobhan in New York.
Take the job, Brandy.
Hi.
Hey, Siobhan.
It's Siobhan.
Thanks. Go ahead.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, my first time calling. So, hello.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, my first thing is, didn't Romney actually say the unemployment rate is not a positive recovery sign?
Right.
Is that
true?
Yes,
that's what he said. He said it's not good enough.
Michelle Bachmann says that they cuts up, I think. That's
right.
Unbelievable. Okay, I have a theory that President Obama threw the debate entirely. It was a calculated risk, and this way Romney had no chance to defend himself on the 47%, the women issues, the immigration, the Bain capital, all of his weaknesses in front of 60 million people and negate all those ads that are ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
So
no, no.
Everybody knew he was prepared to do. To defend himself. So it had to be a strategy. And also, the president knew that this unemployment information was in the till. He knows that in advance.
Yeah, well, we had preliminary numbers a couple of days ago. So I have a sense you're right.
Yep.
And then you said, well, give me this again. This was Mitt Romney on Hannity. He obviously was probably expecting the 47% because those...
Yeah, he was expecting Obama to bring it up.
Right. I mean, go ahead.
Clearly in a campaign with hundreds, if not thousands, of speeches and question and answer sessions, now and then you're going to say something that doesn't come out right.
Uh-huh.
In this case, I said something that's just completely wrong.
Sure.
And I absolutely believe, however, that my life has shown that I care about 100%. That's been demonstrated throughout my life.
Really?
And this whole campaign is about the 100%. When I become president, it will be about helping the 100%.
Okay.
Hello, I lied.
Okay. You know why he's doing that, Chris? Because he saw the same headline I did. Polls showing Romney's 47% moment breaking through.
Yep.
You didn't build that fizzling.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is how pathetic he is. When he first did this, he doubled down on them and said, oh, well, I said it inelegantly, but that's blah, 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 blah. The latest Wall Street Journal NBC poll said respondents found his comments and found 45% felt more negatively toward Romney's afterwards versus 23% who felt more positively about him. Even worse, the 12% slice of voters NBC defines as up for grabs had the strongest reaction. Just 10% approved of the remarks versus a whopping 49% who said the comments diminished their opinion of Romney. At least as discouraging for Republicans, however, is Romney's favorite Obama quote, you didn't build that, isn't even a net drag for the president. And they built their whole convention on that ridiculous, out of
misquote,
context.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, there you go. 18 minutes after the hour. We continue Fridays with Fugelsang coming up in just a couple of minutes on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The things you say, you're unbelievable.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang coming up at the bottom of the hour, getting ready for his big debut tonight on current TV of his new show. Carter in North Carolina. Hi, Carter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I feel sorry for the president. He had to debate essentially a toddler. I mean, his arguments against him were basically, no, it isn't. Nuh-uh.
His argument was nuh-uh.
No. And also, it's like his budget is his imaginary friend.
There you go. Very good. Smart
his budget is Harvey. He's a puka.
Would you like some fun facts?
Sure.
We posted this, but it's almost too breathtaking. I think Think Progress posted Romney told 27 lies in 38 minutes.
Wow.
Just flat out. Let's pick some of our favorites.
That's kind of amazing. That's hard to do.
It is. Get us energy this is one thing he said. Get us energy independent, North American energy independent. That creates 4 million jobs. Romney's plan for, quote, energy independence actually relies heavily on a study that assumes the U.S. continues with fuel efficiency standards set by the Obama administration.
That's right. Huh.
So he's going to take a lot of credit for that stuff that Obama did. Basically.
Only he did this with
hands.
So, he said, I don't have a $5 trillion tax cut. I don't have a tax cut at the scale you're talking about. Yes, he does.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
You haven't done the math.
My view is we ought to provide tax relief to people in the middle class. I'm not going to reduce the share of taxes paid by high-income people.
What?
Just,
My
number one principle is there will be no tax cut that adds to the deficit. I want to underline that. No tax cut that adds to the deficit.
Underlined it so it makes it true.
See, if he says it, and if he says it twice, as the Tax Policy Center concluded, Romney's plan can't both exempt middle-class families from tax cuts and remain revenue neutral.
What do they know?
He said, and I quote, I will not under any circumstances raise taxes on middle-income families. I will lower taxes on middle-income families. Now, you cite a study. There are six other studies that you look at the study you describe and say it's completely wrong. The studies he cites actually further prove that Romney, in fact, would have to raise taxes on the middle class. So, it's just a complete stream of bull, essentially.
Boy, it's a good year for fact-checkers.
Wow. Yeah, that's probably where all these jobs came from that lowered the unemployment rate to 7.8.
Hiring fact-checkers,
fact-checkers for the debate. I saw a study that came out today that said you're going to raise taxes by $3,000 to $4,000 on middle-income families. He said that to the president. That's just,
it's bullcrap.
Mr. President, all of the increase in natural gas and oil has happened on private land, not on government land. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
On government land, your administration has cut the number of permits and licenses in half. No.
No.
Actually, oil production from federal lands is higher, not lower.
So that's what I said. Lower, not higher.
Yeah.
From federal lands is up slightly in 2011, and the oil and gas industry is sitting on 7,000 approved permits to drill, and it hasn't begun exploring or developing. He said the president's put in place as much public debt, almost as much debt held by the public as all our prior presidents combined. Haven't you heard this from right-wing world sources? Guess what? That's not even close to being true. Not even close.
Where did they
not
get that from?
Not even vaguely close to being true. Okay. I've heard that. I've seen that in right-wing email things, chains. What we have to do right now is a setting where I'd like to bring money from overseas back to this country. Romney's plan to shift the country to a territorial tax system would allow corporations to do business and make profits overseas without ever being taxed out in the U.S., actually. So, again, the opposite of what the thing is.
Exact opposite.
Yeah.
He's kind of dumb when it comes to economic policy, isn't he?
I would take the Medicaid dollars that go to the states and say to a state, you're going to get what you got last year, plus inflation, plus 1%. Then you're going to manage your care for your poor in the way you think is best. Actually, sending a federal Medicaid funding to the states in the form of block grant would significantly reduce federal spending for Medicaid, you see, because the grant would not keep up with projected health care costs. So that's... Okay. And then the famous one, I want to take the $716 billion you've cut and put it back into Medicare. The idea of cutting $716 billion from Medicare to be able to balance the additional cost of Obamacare is, in my opinion, a mistake.
If that had actually happened, maybe, but...
Okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay.
The question is, were you lying then?
Yes.
Are you lying now?
Yes.
Or are you not, in fact, a chronic and habitual liar?
Yes. Okay. What I support is no change for current retirees or near retirees who are to Medicare. Yes.
Okay.
That's by repealing Obamacare. That's all. Crap. I don't even need to go into that. He said, you have to have regulation, and there are some parts of Dodd-Frank that make all the sense in the world. He's called previously many, many times on tape, and it's been recorded for the repeal, the complete repeal of Dodd-Frank. Yes. He did death panels. I missed that one.
He said
it puts in place an unelected board that's going to tell people ultimately what kind of treatments they can have. I don't like that idea.
Well,
we don't either. And if it existed,
does.
It would be
really bad.
Bad.
Wow.
Okay. Right now, he said the CBO says up to 20 million people will lose their insurance as Obamacare goes into effect next year. Likewise, another study, blah, blah, blah. 30% of businesses said they're dropping people from coverage, blah, blah.
A study by the
Herfen Flargen Corporation, done by Dr. Flung Harn. The Affordable Care Act would actually expand health care coverage to 30 million Americans, despite Romney's...
Expand, contract, what's the difference?
Okay.
Details.
Okay. I don't... You know what? I don't know. I don't have the will to even do the rest of it. It's all, it's just a complete, just assume everything he said was a lie. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, back with Fridays with Bugle-Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That you pointed it out, maybe
Stephanie Miller
does sound slightly like someone put a screwdriver in a pencil sharpener, but in a cute way.
In a cute way.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It is Friday, you know. Yeah. Oh, there he is, getting all glammed up for his big debut tonight. Good morning, John Bugle-Sang.
Good morning, children. Happy Friday, Steph Ed.
Happy Friday to you.
So proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're launching the weekly series tonight. This is going to be So That Happened, the Week in Review show. The daily series that we're going to do is launching in November, but I said to Mr. Gore, please, you got to give me a chance to make fun of Mitt Romney before the campaign's over. So he's letting us come out and do this every Friday at Joy Behar's spot at 6 and 9 p.m.
Very cool.
Those are Eastern, honey?
Yes, those are Eastern. The only time slot that matters, Steph.
Okay. Oh, look at you, New York-centric.
Well,
let me congratulate you guys for your primetime debut of the show this week. It was so much fun watching your pre-debate special.
Aw, thank you. And I guess we got killer ratings, and we're going to be doing more. And I think
you
it was...
You guys got killer ratings. They're very happy at current. You reached high... Al Gore said you reached a very high altitude.
It's funny because it's true.
And, well, thank you for joining us on that show, too, John.
A lot of fun. Thanks.
Yes.
Always fun to go back and relive the gasps of days past.
Yes.
Yes. We did mention the audible gasp when you came up on the screen because of your, you know, just your beauty.
Well, you know, that's better than what happened to me actually watching the debate. You know, I was covering the debate with a bunch of Democrats. It was Cenk Uygur and Vice President Gore, Governor Spitzer, Governor Granholm. And watching that debate, I haven't heard Al Gore sigh that much since his own debate.
Hiya. Well, you know, John, it's an interesting a difference a day makes, right? I mean, we have these unbelievable new unemployment numbers today. The unemployment rate has dropped to 7.8. Mitt Romney has almost been completely disemboweled fact-wise on his debate performance. What do you think? I mean,
well, everybody should Google this technique called the Gish Gallop. I had never heard of it, but it's Gish, G-I-S-H, Gallop. And it's an actual real debate technique that consists of trying to throw a tidal wave of BS at your opponent that's so vast that while your opponent is trying to, you know, take apart the lies you've just told, you completely snowjob the audience. It is a real, actual technique, and it's exactly what Mitt Romney did. I just landed a gig adapting his debate performance into nonfiction form. The governor, he lied about Massachusetts schools being number one. That's Maryland. He lied about never wanting tax cuts for the rich. It's in his plan, and it's in the Paul Ryan plan he still endorses. I mean, the guy was lying all over the place, and while Barack Obama didn't give the performance a lot of people would have liked, I do believe the president won on substance. But watching Mittens having to backtrack and seeing him go on Sean Hannity last night and just say, oh, that 47% comment? Yeah, I didn't mean that when I said it. I mean, he pretty much outed himself as a liar last night. He did a triple axel flip-flop on his own flip-flop.
Yeah, and I thought the president was great yesterday. Take a listen.
When I got onto the stage, I met this very spirited fellow who claimed to be Mitt Romney. But it couldn't have been Mitt Romney, because the real Mitt Romney has been running around the country for the last year promising $5 trillion in tax cuts that favor the wealthy. The fellow on stage last night said he didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, John, you do have to have some sympathy for the president, right? What do you do when the person doesn't actually show up that's been espousing all these different plans for a year and a half, right?
Well, what do you do if you're a Republican who finally became convinced that your candidate was a hard right-winger that he's been bragging about?
Severely conservative.
The Massachusetts moderate shows up the first night of debate. All my cousins who are Ron Paul freaks who are finally ready to vote for Mitt Romney have cut the guy loose after that debate performance.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like you say, there was so much to debunk when it was happening live. I mean, when you guys were watching it live and having to comment right away, it's almost hard to do that much fact-checking that quickly, isn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And you know, he was lying ferociously, and these guys were so depressed. Watching that with that particular lineup of current regulars was sort of like watching the entire baseball season compressed into 90 minutes with a room full of Mets fans. It was very depressing. I do agree the president's performance was quite lackluster, and I was among the many saying, there it is again, the $716 billion Medicare lie. Why is Obama being a human pinata on this?
Right.
So I'm great he's got a 13-hour rapid response team to get back to it, but I'm actually happy because a lot of Democrats in my life have been a bit smugly certain that Barack Obama has this thing locked up, and Governor Romney did the Obama campaign a big favor. You will see the Obama campaign on offense. That whole moderate approach he took to John McCain didn't work with the governor, and you're going to see a much feistier president in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, and you saw it yesterday already, and I think the other thing is, you know, talk about like, you know, losing the battle but winning the war. I think Mitt Romney underestimated the amount of Muppet love. Take a listen.
Thank goodness somebody is finally getting tough on Big Bird.
Yeah. And apparently Obama's continuing with that this morning. He's saying that Romney is going to put the hammer down on Sesame Street.
It's incredible. I mean, he says he doesn't want to cut Big Bird. He just wants to strap him to the roof of the car.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah.
You've got the guy who took out Bin Laden against the guy who wants to take out Cookie Monster. That's who this election's for.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, hang on. I'm going to put John on hold. Let's take a couple calls. Gail in Syracuse, you're on with John Fugelsang. Hi, Gail.
Hi. So great to finally talk with you. I've been trying to reach you for weeks now.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Yes. Now, I was thinking, you know, in reference to that witch, you know, from Fixed Noise, you know, talking about, you know, the economic patriotism.
Right.
The way I see it, it's basically paying for the stuff that you use. You
right.
Know?
It's like, paying your fair share for the stuff.
System, you know, highways,
right.
You know,
right.
Buying Americans so more Americans can get jobs, you know.
Right. Yes. John, I think, you know, he not only means like paying your fair share, but how about investing in America instead of in the Cayman Islands and Switzerland? How about that?
Well, I know. Mitt Romney's like a reality show called Cayman Shore. I mean, you know, and the debate was like, who wants to tax the millionaire? Again, it's like, I think if you want to call yourself a patriot, what does that mean? Because our same right-wing friends who like to say freedom isn't free, now cut my taxes.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, the president is winning the most important poll. He has already clinched the election according to the 7-Eleven poll.
Oh,
are you familiar with this? It's the coffee cup poll.
Yeah.
They ask customers to select a red or a blue cup based on their candidate of choice, but it has successfully projected the results of the last three elections. The election is still over a month away. President Obama appears to hold an insurmountable lead in the 7-Eleven poll.
Okay, then.
Cool.
He's even winning some red states
and of course,
in this poll.
Romney doesn't drink coffee, so it's starting handicapped
right,
there.
Right away, he's at an advantage.
Well, that's actually kind of unfortunate because Romney's health care plan involves giving out vouchers for scratch-off games.
You know, I know he doesn't do caffeine, but, John, a lot of speculation about what was he on exactly. He was a little amped up, wasn't he?
He was high on anxiety, my friend. That's what he always is. Mitt Romney's always that insecure, but he really proved something. The guy really does believe in one core value, and that is that he is meant to be president. He is the white horse prophecy. And if you keep that in mind, all the flip-flops make sense. He's the Leonard Zelig of political morality. He'll say anything he's got to say and turn into whoever he's in a room with. That's why he said it's horrible. Classist, evil, 47% stuff in a room full of rich, wealthy douchebags. He really meant it when he was around those people. Mm-hmm. He doesn't mean it anymore. The guy is a human windsock, and he's completely committed to whatever he feels right now. He's like Charlie Sheen trying to talk a hooker into bed.
Hey, that's an insult to windsocks. It's very useful.
Windsocks at least have a use. Exactly. Sharon in Virginia, you're on with John. Hello, Sharon.
Hello there, Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, my husband just turned me on to you guys. I just got to say I love you, and I want to call about that debate the other night. I must say, I was at a point that I wanted to bash my TV screen in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Because I thought, what is going on? Where is my Obama? And when I calmed down and really started to watch him, I was amazed at his strategy. And I believe in this next debate, number one, they're going to start running the ads to show the face of Romney, what he's been saying prior to, and what he's saying now. And I cannot wait for the next debate when Obama calls him on everything he says and watch him get flustered and angry, as all the Republicans do, because all they can do is talk loud and scream.
Yeah, and I've said that before. You know, you've seen, John, how flustered he gets when we, you know, we were talking about the Republican primaries.
When you challenge him at anything.
Yeah, I mean, he gets incredibly flustered, right?
Well, and that's the challenge. How is the president going to get under his skin without looking like he's trying to get under his skin?
Right.
But I do
right.
think it involves, you know, really, really just being on offense. I think I'd much rather have Barack Obama get bad report card for the first debate than the last two. And I do think he's really underestimating Joe Biden in this next week's debate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in his defense, anybody could be caught by the razor-sharp intellect of Rick Perry.
Oops.
Well, you know, this happens historically. If you look at President Reagan, you know, when you're president, you do live in an incumbent bubble. And Mitt Romney had 7,000 debates earlier this year against Michelle Bachmann and Santorum. Santorum, by the way, who's campaigning for Todd Akin. It's good to know that Todd Akin has a lot of Santorum behind him.
Nice.
And that Santorum is sticking.
John Louise.
George W. Bush had the same thing in 2004. His first debate with Senator Kerry, he was all over the place. And so very often presidents do historically have a rough time in the first debate. But the president was relaxed. You know, Jim Lehrer was no help at all. I kept waiting for Bob Neal to come out of his crypt and whack him with a dead cat. It was just so depressing to watch. I think that you're going to see a much more energized Barack Obama. And again, all these smug conservatives saying that Paul Ryan's going to mop the floor with Joe Biden, forget about
that's
it.
Yep.
Paul Ryan has no heart. He's got no heart at all, and Joe Biden's going to make him look like Draco Malfoy from Harry Potter books.
And look at his speech. I mean, Ryan's speech at the RNC, John. I mean, that was just about as thoroughly fact-checked and debunked as Mitt Romney's debate before.
The guy AP hired to fact-check that speech just got home to his wife last night.
Right. Well, we already said, I think that's where the drop in unemployment numbers comes from, all the fact-checking that have been employed.
Well, and also, don't forget the next presidential debate is going to be a town hall format,
right.
And that's where Obama really shines.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, all right, John Fugelsang remains in the sidecar. We continue the remaining moments of Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with Fugelsang. Here he is in New York. Well, no, he's not in New York. He's on the phone.
Yeah,
he's getting ready
right for
the debut of his new current television show tonight. John Fugelsang, So That Happened. Is that the name of it?
That is the name of it, yeah. It's a weekend review show where we're going to go all the way back to the midst of time, all the way back to Paul Ryan having his ass handed to him by Chris Wallace on Fox News.
Yeah, what is that about when you get stumped by Fox News on your budget, right?
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, Chris Matthews had an unexpected outbreak of journalism.
Exactly. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mary in Illinois, you're on with John. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you, Steph?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
I just got a real quick thing. The other night at the debate, when Romney said about his boys, if they tell you stories over and over and over, you're going to believe them.
Right.
Well, this man does nothing but believe himself, because he's telling the lies over and over and over. And when Obama looked at him like he was from Mars, I got the biggest kick out of it, and Obama really proved himself by not losing his cool.
Right.
And I think people should be aware of that. I admire the strength and the fortitude that Obama has.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, John, it really was, I mean, the fact that he preemptively basically called the president a liar before he was to lie for, you know,
after 90 minutes.
After
calling his own sons liars.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, as the smoke has cleared, as we've been saying, I mean, Paul Krugman wrote about this. Basically, everything the president said was true, and almost everything Mitt Romney said was a lie. I mean,
exactly right. And I mean, that's the important thing to remember from the conventional wisdom. You want to say Mitt Romney won in terms of debate performance? Go ahead, but the president won it on the facts, on the words, on the numbers. The question is, what really decides debates? Is it words and facts, or is it tone? I mean, I actually believe that the reason people are saying that Romney won is because he conveyed such a great sense of confidence. He was such an amazing BS artist, and he seemed to be having the only one having fun in the room, whereas the president was more academic and professorial, which we know doesn't test well with focus groups. On paper, it's like a flip-flop of Kennedy-Nixon, because it turns out Obama really won the debate when you look at substance.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. Well, and, but I mean, again, speaking of facts and numbers, so then, you know, with these unemployment numbers coming out today, don't you think that neutralizes even what happened at the debate?
Oh, completely. A number of factors do. Number one, the fact-checking that's been going on for the past 48 hours has taken a lot of the glow off of Mitt's win. Number two, having Mitt go on Sean Hannity and pretty much say, yeah, I didn't mean anything I said when I talked about the 47%, which I guess also means when he went on Fox News to double down and defend those statements, he was lying then to the Fox News audience. So that's a triple flip-flop. On top of it, these employment numbers came out this morning, and all the Republicans I know are like Darth Vader going, no! In fact, now there's this new, you know, like job report jobbers movement. They're the new birthers. They're all claiming, including
right.
Jack Welch himself,
right.
that these numbers were all made up. These guys never once questioned the numbers when Bush was losing 750,000 jobs a month. They never questioned the veracity of that. But we gained 115,000 jobs. We're down to 7.8%. That's a myth. These guys never questioned the terror alert color-coded systems. But, oh, yeah, this one month, it's a myth because it's so easy for a president to fudge job numbers.
Wow.
It's crazy, and it's a sign of desperation. And the president should be very happy there are more brand new lunatic conspiracy theories against him today.
Yeah, it's awesome. And by the way, speaking of numbers, this is Rasmussen, which that's
uh-oh.
Like the right wing poll.
Yeah.
Oh boy. They have today Obama at 332 electoral votes, Romney at 206.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
And it's only going to get worse, right, John?
It's going to get a lot. Well, I don't know. I don't see how the governor can turn it around. I mean, unless he gets rid of, you know, Paul Ryan and replaces him with Lil Wayne, I don't really know what he could do. I mean, Paul Ryan was supposed to be the guy who got people excited to be excited about Mitt Romney, and that failed.
And
I don't think your governor's going to do much better. He got the bounce he didn't get at his convention, and I do give him credit. He gave a good performance. He lied to his teeth. But
right.
he won the debate in terms of performance, and he deserves credit for
well,
that.
Well, it's right. I mean, it's winning by cheating, I suppose. You can go, well, yes, you won. If everything you said were true, I suppose it would be a different story. But anyway, speaking of...
But I would never suggest Republicans cheat in elections. Never, never.
No, no, no. By the way, what does it say about Paul Ryan that Obama still holds a double-digit lead in Wisconsin? 53% to 42%.
It says that Paul Ryan is still running for his congressional seat and is not giving it up. There are actually Paul Ryan for Congress signs popping up all around Wisconsin right now, which means he's diverting money to that cause.
Right.
He is not quitting his day job.
It seems like he thinks he may need a backup plan of some sort.
A day job, if you will.
Jeannie in Ohio, you're on with John. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Oh, John, good luck on your new show tonight.
Thank you very much.
And I got it on DVR to watch, so I'm very excited to watch it.
It's going
to
be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I think, I don't know about you guys, but is Romney really a lunatic or what? I mean, he is. I you know, every time I hear him, I have to rewind to say, did I just hear that? You know,
right.
It's just like, and I think that I agree with that woman that called a few calls before, saying that I think that Obama did throw the debate, but he was cool. You know, I mean, he kept it cool, and he did smile, and I think he was looking down, because I think if he would look up at Romney, he would just crack up.
That's what someone else said, John, like he was trying to stifle laughs.
Yeah, like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and again, Jim Lehrer, you know, I mean, my God, I admire Jim Lehrer. I think he's maybe the best news show on all of TV, but I don't know what he was doing on that stage. And this is the week that there was so much criticism at the debate, you know, commission, that the moderators are all too old and too white, and where's Gwen Ifill this year?
Yeah.
And why is Jim Lehrer get to do his 47th presidential debate? And Jim Lehrer allegedly was livid with anger over these criticisms. You've got to imagine Jim Lehrer getting angry. He's like, you know, ripping the tassels off his loafers.
I'm just livid. Hey, you shouldn't see me like this.
Yeah.
TMZ caught up with Jim Lehrer in the airport,
that.
And that gave us the funniest headline of the week. TMZ catches up with Jim Lehrer.
I think they could have had Queen Latifah pretending to be Gwen Ifill. Would have done
I remember that.
Let's see. Joe in Chicago, you're on with John. Hi, Joe.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Just calling to say that I did not think Obama was at all adequately prepared for the debate, that after watching all 25 Republican debates, Mitt Romney clearly was going to be devoid of reality, such as his denial of ever supporting an insurance mandate when that was his flagship, you know, plan in Massachusetts.
And yeah. I mean, well, John, you're the one that obviously created the Etch-a-Sketch moment. Did you ever imagine it is almost like a literally different person, as the president was pointing out yesterday, was on that stage, you know, the other night?
Oh, completely. This is what I told our boss, Mr. Gore, is the Etch-a-Sketchification of Mitt Romney. You know, I almost respected how he stayed in the right-wing douchebag persona for weeks after he clinched the nomination. And I really thought he was going to stay that way. I think it was because Eric Bernstrom made the Etch-a-Sketch comment that Governor Romney felt the need to pretend he was way more right-wing all the way through the convention.
John Fugel saying, so that happened tonight. It debuts tonight on Current TV, 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, correct?
Yes, thank you, Steph. Ed Asner will be joining us. I'm taking apart the Rapture. Michael Tomasky from Newsweek. It's going to be a great show.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you so much.
Good luck, honey, and we will see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.